The Rambam defines one of the core beliefs of Judaism as the belief that Hashem empowers humans with prophetic ability. And then he goes on to describe what kind of a human being and what qualities they have to have in order to access Nevuah. Now, those details of what characteristics the Navi needs give us an insight into what exactly we are required to believe about Nevuah. Kosav Rambam b'Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam writes in his Laws of the Foundations of Torah, Gabei Inyan HaNevuah, in regards to Nevuah, Shem Yesodei HaDas Leida Shakel Menabim Es Bnei HaAdam, which the Rambam defines as one of the key principles of Judaism, to know that Hashem does give prophecy to human beings. So in that he tells us, Ve'en HaNevuah Chola, Nevuah will not impact or will not land on a person, El HaChochem God B'Chochma, unless the person is an exceptional Chacham, somebody who's incredibly wise, Gibra b'midosav, somebody who has very powerful personality traits, v'lo yehei yitzom is gabra lo v'dover bo'ilam, and his yetzahara, negative impulses, will never overtake him, ever. Elohum is gabra b'daital yitzay tamid, but to the contrary, he with his focused mind is always in control of his impulses, v'bal deir rechav v'nechoynad mo'id, and this is somebody with an incredibly broad and wide and deep knowledge and understanding of the world. After giving us that introduction about the overall characteristics of a Navi, then the Rambam goes into the details of how a Navi has to conduct himself in order to access Nevuah. Bikshu, Hameforshim, so the classic commentaries on Rambam, Kesa Mishnah, Tzedelecha Mishnah, etc., they ask the following question. B'masechta Nedorim, in Gemara Nedorim, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, there Rabbi Yochanan tells us that there are four traits that a person needs in order to become a Navi. They are powerful, wealthy, wise, and humble. And we learn all of these from Moshe. And then the Gemara goes on to show us from Psukim how we know that these are four traits that Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate Navi, had. At the Anav, until you get to Anav, which is Moshe Anav Mi'oid, where we're told that Moshe was the most humble person ever. When you read that Gemara and you see the quotations that are brought, it's pretty clear that Gibra means physically strong and Asher means actually having wealth. So the question is, how come the Rambam doesn't really seem to say that? How come it is that the Rambam, while the Gemara seems to say that there are four key characteristics of being a Navi, the Rambam does not include wealthy and he does not include humble? So, Kesef Mishnah Beer, the Kesef Mishnah tries to explain Shemasha Kosef or Rambam Kan. What the Rambam is telling us here is, for the Nafshek Yomer, what his own understanding was. V'loi Mahod Rabbi Yonason, and he's not quoting Rabbi Yonason, you will notice over here, he says Rabbi Yonason, even though the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan. V'tam lekach, Shah Rambam loy hevi esapratim hanaliz v'sham. So, the Kesef Mishnah explains why does the Rambam not include those characteristics that were also quoted in the Gemara. Shemipreish Rabbi Yochanan, but my Mora ena Kodesh Borcha Mashashchinosoi. That's because, says the Kesef Mishnah, when Rabbi Yochanan was saying that the Eibishter does not allow his divine presence to rest on a person unless they have those four characteristics, that's talking about a person who's going to permanently have the divine presence with them 24/7, which is in fact something that the Rosh points out on his commentary in Nedarim. And in order for a person to have that permanence of divine presence, they have to have all of those prerequisites. But to have occasional prophecy, says the Kesef Mishnah, it's possible that a person could have prophetic moments without having mastered all of these four areas. Rabbi Yochanan, the four mentioned Rabbi Yochanan, which is Gibor, Osher, Chochem, Onav, that you have to be powerful and wealthy and wise and humble. V'Rabbeinu lo yinocha sochet eforesh, ela tanaya, anove, disnabis, v'afilu shlo yehe bikvius. And the Kesef Mishnah answers that clearly the Rambam over here is not looking specifically to go through all of the details required to become a permanent Navi, but rather the things that are necessary in order to have Nevuah from time to time. Aval chayra teretzeinu mechuvar, doesn't seem to be a very clear answer. First of all, firstly, that implies that what were recorded as physical assets, gibor begufoi, to have a strong body, ve'asher kipshuta, and literally have a lot of wealth, it seems so strange. So now you're telling me that physical greatness is more important than spiritual greatness, because spiritual greatness is good enough to get temporary prophecy. But in order to get permanent prophecy, well, you've got to have a lot of money in the bank. Doesn't seem to make sense. Logic would dictate the opposite. So you would expect that spiritual greatness would be the reason why a person has long-term or permanent nevuah, much more than physical things. But besides that, in Avadzai's kosher, there's another question here as well. Why would the Rambam, who is a book of halacha, only deal with a scenario where a person has intermittent prophecy? Why would the Rambam not want to speak about the elements that are required in order to have long-term prophecy? How does he completely overlook that in the Kesef Mishnah's interpretation? Especially when you consider the Nevi'im, we all know from Tanakh, they are Nevi'im who had consistent Nevuah. Surely the Rambam should be speaking about their reality. And even if you weren't looking at examples from Tanakh, logic dictates that if you're writing a book that is describing a critical part of Judaism, in this case Nevuah, you should be speaking about the more important version of Nevuah and the more common version of Nevuah, which is somebody is a permanent Navi, versus the far less important and less common example of a person who has intermittent Nevuah. Why would the Rambam go with that? Void ve'iker, and then of course, on top of all of that, look at the language of the Rambam, both in this halacha and the halachas that follow. Mashma, it implies, everything about the Rambam's language implies that he's talking about somebody who is a Navi consistently. And it would also appear that the Rambam is dealing with halachas that would apply to every kind of Navi that exists, whereas the Kesef Mishnah is suggesting that the Rambam leaves out a very major part of Nevi'im. So we're back to square one, which is our question. Why does the Rambam not say that a prerequisite to be a Navi is you've got to be strong and you've got to be wealthy? Yes, ma'am, mefoshim shetirtzu. So there are other commentaries who give a different suggestion. And they argue that the Rambam's view is, yes, Rabbi Yochanan suggested that there are four prerequisites to become a Navi, but the halacha doesn't follow his opinion. And so the final conclusion of the Gemara is that you don't actually have to be a physically powerful person, and you don't have to be a wealthy person in order to be a Navi. And the easiest way to prove it is, look at the history, and you'll see many Nevi'im did not have those traits. There were Nevi'im who were not known either for their strength or for their wealth, or both. In fact, there's a pretty well-known story in the Gemara that illustrates that a person could deserve the divine presence even if they're not wealthy. There's a story that the Gemara brings in multiple occasions. She also passed Kol Min Hashemayim Yomra, that there was a heavenly announcement to a group of the sages that said, Yesh Kanechot Sheroi Shatisha Olav Shechina Kemoshe Rabbeinu. Amongst you is an individual who deserves to have the degree of divine presence that Moshe enjoyed. The reason it hasn't happened to him is because the generation is not deserving of such a person in their midst. So the story goes, they looked around the room and they identified that this heavenly voice must obviously be referring to Hillel HaZaken. Everybody knows that one of the most famous things about Hillel was his abject poverty. So clearly, to be somebody who deserves a divine presence, you don't necessarily have to have wealth. So that may resolve why the Rambam doesn't talk about wealth or about power, but there still is a question. How is it that the Rambam does not say one of the prerequisites to become a Navi is that you have to be absolutely humble? In fact, if you go back to that same story where they were looking, who could possibly be this person who deserves the divine presence? Oh, it's Hillel. That same story said, well, what was his great asset? Humility. The nature of the story is that the main reason they believed he deserved divine presence was because of his humility. The Gemara that concludes, when Hillel passed away, they said, Hi, Onov, Chulei. Look at this uniquely humble person. Why then does the Rambam not include that as one of the key elements you have to have to be a Navi? And our parasha as well, in our parasha, when it describes that Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble human who ever lived, that is a run-up to what's going to follow afterwards, which is where the Eibusha is lauding the incredible status of Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu has that Aaron and Miriam don't have. Loichen Avdi Moshe, my servant Moshe is not like any other Nabi. Bekol Beisin Hemon, who is completely trustworthy in my house. Pel Pel Dabba Boy, I speak to him face to face. And he doesn't get metaphoric messages, he gets clear messages. Utunas Hashem Yabit Goimer, and he could see the image of Hashem, etc. Clearly, the Torah is illustrating because Moshe is such an incredibly humble person. That's why he's such a powerful Navi. So that implies that humility is a direct cause of Nevuah. Why does the Rambam leave it off the list? So, Pasha saw your Evshel Teretz. Maybe you could answer, Sha'at Nai Ono of Nichlal, but Masha Kosovo Rambam, that the Rambam actually did allude to the fact that an Avi has to be somebody who is humble. Why? Because he said a generic statement, Gibra b'mi doisav. There has to be somebody of very strong character. And he never succumbs to his Yetzirah. Ki gam anovi himi malis amidus. Needless to say, if you're describing somebody who has impeccable character, well, that would include humility, because humility is part of character. In fact, you could even go so far as to say that physical strength is something that the Rambam also alluded to when he said, if you have an individual who is filled with all of these amazing character traits, and then he goes on to say, and is of a whole physical body, implying, of course, that he has physical strength. So maybe the Rambam actually did speak about these characteristics, and we don't have to panic. Well, the problem is, let's go with the second point first. Let's assume that when the Rambam said that the Navi has to be somebody of whole physical health, he actually meant physical health and not shalom begufoy, meaning that he has mastery over his body in a spiritual way. Let's even say that that's true. Being healthy is not the same as being powerful. You could be a very healthy person. It's not necessarily a gibor. A gibor is somebody who is uniquely strong. And besides which, why would the Rambam only allude to what is a critical trait of a Navi? Why doesn't he say it clearly? And why doesn't he say it at the beginning when he gives all the prerequisites to becoming a Navi? He should have included this. So that's with regards to power, strength. The same thing you could ask about this element of humility. If the Gemara highlighted humility as its own standalone trait, why doesn't the Rambam do the same? Why is he just alluding to it in the generic concept that you've got to have impeccable character? Okay, so what have we got? We've got a Gemara in Nedarim, and the Gemara over there says that there are four traits that a person has to have to become a Navi. We have the Rambam speaking about becoming a Navi, and he speaks about traits, but he doesn't seem to include all of the four traits. We want to know why. And before we can do that, we're going to see that the same kind of discussion about the qualifications of a Navi appears in the Gemara Shabbos, but there are clear distinctions between the Gemara Shabbos and Nedarim. We want to know why those distinctions are there, and that will help us to understand what really is the message in terms of believing in the power of Nevuah. So, the same conversation appears in Gemara Shabbos. But there the Gemara said something a little different. The Shechina will not rest. So, in Nedarim it said, Hashem will not rest his Shechina. Here it's more generic. The Shechina will not rest. Ela, except Al Chacham, if the person is wise, Gibor, powerful, Vyasher, and wealthy. Ubal Koyman, somebody who has distinction, somebody who's kind of a, you know, personality that you would look to with respect. So there also, there's the following question to ask, like the Lechem Mishnah asks. Okay, we get it. The Gemara may have added on this Baal Koyma, which implies that the person is distinguished as a continuation of or development of the theme of being really strong. When you say that somebody's really strong, it also implies that they're distinguished amongst people. And you could even argue that the reason it's talking about stature, because that's really Baal Koyma, means somebody who has stature, that's why they're distinguished, is because that particular Gemara happens to be talking about the stature of the Levim, physical stature, how tall they were. Avakosha, but what's still problematic for us is, how come the Gemara Shabbos doesn't speak about the necessity to be humble in order to be a prophet? Secondly, the order of the traits is in a different order to how it was in Nedarim. Gibor Asher Chacham in Nedarim, first strong, then wealthy, then wise. Whereas here it's B'Chacham B'Gibor. Here it's first wise, then strong, then wealthy. Why that switch? And the other big distinction between these two sections of Gemara is B'Nedarim Ne'amayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashah Shechinah Sechulei. The Gemara in Nedarim says that Hashem will not place his Shechina into an environment until the person has those qualities. Vida b'Shabbos, where Shabbos says, Ein ha-Shechina shayrachule, that the divine presence won't rest without, so to speak, mentioning Hashem. Why? Shlema abir b'chol zeh. So to get to understand all of these issues, the two different Gemaras, why the Rambam is different to the Gemara, is to ask ourselves the question, well, what is the fundamental belief that we have to have regarding Nevuah? Because that's what the Rambam is talking about. We know that the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos on Sanhedrin gives the 13 principles of Jewish faith, and there he talks that one of those principles is to believe in Nevuah, and the language he uses is this. Adam. Person has to know that there are people that will be amongst us. You'll be able to find, identify such people amongst us who are people who have incredibly elevated natures. And they have this tremendous sense of mastery. And there are people who are so developed, their neshamas are so aligned, that they're able to receive perception or imagery in their minds, and that will then allow their intellectual mind to connect to the intellect of the one who makes everything exist, in other words, Hashem, and that's then going to emanate and radiate onto them this incredible radiance of spirituality. These people are Nevi'im, that's the definition of Nevo'ah. So we have to believe that that possibility exists. In other words, the belief is that there are unique humans who have unique experiences that make them into Nevi'im. And you can hear the same kind of language in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. Bearing in mind that this Mishneh Torah is a book of Halacha, and there the Rambam seems to say the same thing, the same kind of thing. Because there he writes, one of the foundations of our belief is, later to know, this is a very important word, later to know, that the Eibusher endows people with prophecy. And then after that, immediately the Rambam goes into what are the details, what is a Navi, what are the preconditions to becoming a Navi, etc. He tells us the Navi cannot attach to a person unless they have these traits. And the Rambam goes into the path that a Navi has to follow if he wants to access Navi, meaning to say, if he is predestined to Navi, what he has to do to actually experience Navi, but darkei ha-Navi, the ways of the Navi, he goes through all these things with such a person who's achieved all these characteristics, who's developed this incredible understanding, and then goes on a journey to enter into the spiritual realms, and he talks about what Nevoah actually is like. So what's the Rambam's intention? The Rambam's are telling us, you want to hear something interesting? Here's some trivia about prophets. Prophets need these characteristics. This is how they go about. They've got to be in a good headspace, etc., etc. Remember, the Rambam started this conversation by saying, this is Yisodei Hadas. These are the fundamental principles of what we're supposed to believe as Jewish people. One of those fundamental principles is to believe in Nevoah. So therefore, these details obviously are relevant to what it is about Nevoah that we're supposed to believe. In other words, the Rambam is telling us, it's not only that we have an obligation to believe prophecy exists and it affects certain people. That the Eibusha reveals his secrets to his servants, the Nevi'im, generally. And that's the foundation of our belief. No, the Rambam is saying more than that. And a gama yediyah oydus ufen v'geder ha-Nevoah. For us to know what defines Nevoah and how Nevoah happens, shikshur l'seich v'das ha-Navi v'nikletes v'nikskabeles v'daita, which is all related to the mind of the Navi, where that person's mind is, how they, so to speak, receive Hashem's messages in their mind. We have to know that. That's part of the fundamental belief of Judaism. And you see this because the Rambam gives us that kind of detail. That all the Nevi'im, when they have the experience of prophecy, they literally have almost what looks like a seizure. Their limbs start to shake, and they become physically weak. And their thought process is interrupted or disrupted. To the extent that their mind becomes absolutely clear of anything else, that they can just be focused on the message that they are receiving. So there the Rambam is illustrating to us that Nevoah means something which becomes part and parcel of the intellectual status and process of the Navi. To, again, quote the Rambam, the person becomes somebody completely different. Who can understand with his understanding that he's no longer the same as who he was. But he's been elevated over and above all the other people in the population, including the really wisest of them all. So therefore, the Rambam's telling us what we need to know is not just that there is a Navi, but that the Navi is an elevated state of intellectual awareness, and that the Navi then becomes a different kind of a human being. So we have to know all the details of what that means. We have to know that Nevuah follows this particular protocol, which the Rambam describes in detail. That when a person enters into the spiritual realm and is very committed to learning and experiencing all these, what for us are distant abstract concepts, and he develops this clear intellect, to be able to understand clearly what's going on, and the person continuously elevates themselves and sanctifies themselves and separates themselves from the behavior of the rest of the community, the people who basically plod along in the darkness of the time, but rather this is somebody who energizes themselves, and he is absolutely focused to make sure that he doesn't have any distracting thoughts and doesn't get caught up in the nonsense of today's time or the schemes of today's world, but his mind is free of all of that distraction to be able to be focused on higher things constantly. His mind is literally attached to that which is within the realm of Hashem's throne, so to speak. To be able to understand the imagery that is associated with prophetic message and the imagery that is associated with Hashem's environment. And he's able to look, so to speak, almost through the lens of Hashem's wisdom. And he can understand everything from the highest, the most original of all existences, down to the things that live in the bowels of the earth. And he understands from all that the greatness of Hashem. V'azai says the Rambam, then the Holy Spirit rests on such a person, and he gets to have Nevuah. That's all what we have to know. That's what we have to know about Nevi'im. Not just that there are Nevi'im. These are all details of the overarching mitzvah that we have, and the foundational mitzvah of Judaism, to know God. Once we know that that's what the Rambam is teaching us, that not only do we have to know that Nevi'im exist, but we have to know how Nevi'im get to be Nevi'im, then you can understand why the details of what the prerequisites are for a Navi, and why the Rambam selects of those prerequisites only certain of them to quote in his halacha, and why he doesn't list the others. Because the Rambam's not writing this book for Nevi'im only, so therefore he's not addressing all of the things that a Navi needs to achieve in order to become a Navi. All the Rambam is listing is the information we have to know, the requirements of a Navi that we have to know as part of our mitzvah to know the principle of Hashem prophesying, or allowing people to prophesy. What are those key elements? That what we have to know is that Nevuah will not happen to a person unless the person is incredibly wise and very much a master of their own characteristics. And a person who will never succumb to the Yetzirah, but with their focused intellect, they will always be in control of the impulses. Somebody with an incredibly broad insight and understanding to the world. Because these are part of the core of what a Navi is, which also help us understand why there is Nevuah and why it's so important. To understand what Nevuah does, that it impacts the mind, the insight, the understanding that a person has. We have to know that there is Nevuah. We have to know that Nevuah is something that completely shifts and alters the state of mind of a person, and therefore we have to know the details of how that happens. But the other elements, which are very important to become a Navi, Gibra, that he has to be physically powerful, Asher, that he has to be wealthy, V'onav, he has to be humble. That is information that's relevant to the Navi. He has to know that he has to have these things in order to be in a position to receive the divine message. But they're not fundamental to Nevuah. In other words, they are prerequisites. If you have these things, then you are in a position to get Nevuah. Whereas Chochma and Gibra B'maisov, or Gibra B'midoisov, those are things that if they're missing, they cannot be Nevuah. They are intrinsic to the Nevuah, because the whole purpose of Nevuah is that his mind should be aligned with Hashem's message and Hashem's wisdom. And therefore, as important as wealth and humility and strength might be for the Navi, they're not the things we need to know, because if they're absent, the Nevuah can still work. They're not fundamental to what Nevuah means. Nevuah means aligning the mind with Hashem's mind. Physical strength and wealth illustrate that a person has all the physical traits that they need. And they are required in order for a person to be able to receive the divine presence. And humility is required because without humility there's an obstruction to the divine revelation. As we well know, the Gemara tells us an arrogant person, we cannot occupy the same space. And as the Gemara also tells us, arrogance is in a sense a rejection of Hashem. So the arrogance would be a blockage to Nevoah. So obviously there's got to be humility to allow Nevoah. But they are not intrinsic to what Nevoah is. They are just things that are required to allow yourself Nevoah. With that information, we could look at the distinction between how the Gemara speaks in Nedarim and how it speaks in Shabbos, even though ostensibly it's speaking the exact same language. It's actually speaking about two different angles. Out of the two aspects that the Rambam doesn't list, which are out of Gibra v'Asher, on the one hand, strength and wealth, which show that the person has physical wholeness, and pays on of humility, which shows that the person is not blocked from divine messaging. There's no question about it that we can acknowledge that humility is going to be a far more important prerequisite to prophecy than wealth and power, and that's why we see that there are people who were not wealthy who were Nevi'im. However, there is a particular angle from which having strength and having wealth is actually even more of a direct link to Nevoah even than humility. How so? Because let's be honest, humility is not only reserved for Nevi'im. Everybody is supposed to have humility. It's not only something you need in order to get divine messaging. It's for any of us to have any kind of a relationship with Hashem. We have to have humility. Like the Gemara we just quoted, well, the Abishah says, if there's no humility, I cannot be in your space. So if we want to have a relationship to Hashem, even if we're not a Navi, we have to have humility. And beyond that, as we know that the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya B'Loshana Yedua, that the Abishah will not be manifest other than in an environment that is completely dedicated to. But there's nothing about Judaism that requires you to be wealthy or requires you to be powerful. Those are things that are unique for Nevoah. And the reason for that is because in the same way as in order for a person to be a Navi, they have to be absolutely whole as their personality goes. Chacham gadol b'chochma, incredibly wise, giver b'midos of chulei kenal, with incredible personal mastery. In the same way as they have to be spiritually whole, they have to be physically whole. And therefore they have to have physical strength and they have to have wealth. You and I don't need that in order to be good Jews. That's unique to Nevoah. And you can understand why they need to have these traits if you think about what the Rambam says about Hichus Tshuva, where he explains the whole concept of so-called rewards, where we don't get rewards for Torah mitzvahs, we get facilitated to be able to do Torah mitzvahs easily or better. So when the Rambam talks about the promises about great physical blessing that the Torah makes, it's not rewards. You listen to what the Abishah says, so therefore you now deserve rain. It's because what the Abish is doing for us is allowing us an opportunity to do better at Torah mitzvahs. If life is smoother, if life is easier, there are less distractions, less stresses, we can do a better job of serving the Abish. The Abish is promising us, show me that you're dedicated to Torah mitzvahs, and I will remove the obstacles that would prevent you from doing Torah mitzvahs. And therefore the Rambam says that the Eibishter is going to shower on us all of the things that will help strengthen us to be able to fulfill Torah mitzvahs, could go in seiva, like a bounty, with shalom and peace, with a kesef hazav, and great wealth, so that we won't have to spend our time stressing about how we're going to earn a living, but we could live with a free, open, relaxed mindset that we could learn Torah and do mitzvahs. It's the same thing when we talk about strength or wealth of a Navi. When is a Navi whole in the sense of his wisdom and his personal mastery? When he has physical strength and he has wealth, so he doesn't have to worry about all the things that might have distracted him from doing what he has to do. So now with this information, let's clarify that there's no major conflict over here between the two Gemaras, Nedarim and Shabbos. Shemasechta Shabbos, Anidin hu nevuah b'madrega gevoya. Gemara Shabbos is talking about a very advanced level of nevuah. Whereas of Nedarim, Anidin hu nevuah b'madrega lamatamayana lo yashos hashchina b'chlal. Whereas the Gemara Nedarim is either describing a lower experience of nevuah or something far more generic where the divine presence could be manifest. Overhaktin. Let's understand that. What do we mean, difference between prophecy and the manifestation of the divine presence? Because the idea of the Shekhinah being present is something that has many, many different levels. That's why the Gemara, the Mishnah, for example, in Pirkei Avos says that there's Shekhinah for 10 people, and then for 5 people, and for 3 people, and for 2 people, for 1 people, means one person. It means that there's different experiences of divine presence. So the very, very highest level of divine presence would be the kind of nevuah that Moshe had. And the lowest experience of divine presence would be when you have 10 Jews in a room and they're not even learning Torah, Alter Rebbe says in the Geirus HaKodesh. Even my Moshe himself, who is of course the ultimate Navi, he went through different stages where there were different experiences of nevuah. There is Nevuas Moshe Bishle Musa, the ultimate state of Moshe's Nevuah, Kippur Parashah Seni, which is described in our Parashah of Enema V'leikom Navi Yod Kamoshe of Goymer, about which it said no other person would ever parallel Moshe as a Navi. Then there's Nevuas Moshe, Kvishayis HaKodim Shinis Hashem Ipsilasin Shaluchois. Then there's the Nevuah that Moshe experienced before he was so-called enriched by the offcuts of making the second luchos, was a kol gamzman achrei shekibul terem Sinai, which even includes a period after he received the Torah at Sinai, where he didn't yet have this developed experience of nevuah. Then there's lamet cheshana shoy bnei yisrael b'midbar b'terem toma anshei mechom lamos. Then there's the 38 years in the desert as the generation who refused to go into Eretz Yisrael slowly passed away. And we know that during that entire period, although there was messaging from Hashem, it wasn't that face-to-face, benevolent, you know, loving connection. That's just Moshe himself. So what's clear is that there are multiple experiences of divine presence that a person could have or that a community can have. So because we have this disparity between what type of Nevuah Shabbos is talking about, what type of Nevuah Nedarim is talking about, that's why the language is different. The Gemara in Shabbos says that the Shekhinah is not going to be manifest. The Gemara in Nedarim says that Hashem is not going to manifest the Shekhinah. To understand that better, we know in Chassidus we're always told that the higher and more developed something is, the lower it is able to reach an impact. Therefore, the Gemara Nedarim, which we've already identified, is talking about lower experiences of divine manifestation. Therefore, he's really describing people who are at a lower spiritual caliber than what the Gemara Shabbos is talking about. He doesn't necessarily have all of the traits described in Masechta Shabbos. So, for example, he's not a Baal Koyma. And because the person doesn't have all of those qualifications, therefore, they either have a more rudimentary kind of prophecy, or they just simply have divine presence without the level of prophecy. So in order to reach people who are not so spiritually developed, you have to draw on Imshechas Hashom Mekavoya Yosei, you have to draw on a source which is much higher. And therefore, the language is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashe Shechinosei. The Eibishter is putting his Shechina into that environment because it's not a natural flow, and you, so to speak, need the Eibishter's impact. Whereas Gemara Shabbos, it's talking about people who are at a very, very advanced level of nevuah. Naturally, the divine presence is there. Shechina Shaira, it's the most normal thing in the world that the Shechina should be found in such an environment. Knowing those two cardinal differences between Shabbos, which is talking about people who are at a higher level, and Adorim, which is speaking about people at a lower level, you can now also understand the differences between how they both tell what seemed originally to us to be an identical story. But Masechta Shabbos, which is talking about Nevuah and a very advanced Nevuah, so therefore the first thing that you have to identify is that the person is a Chacham. If they want to have this elevated experience of Nevuah, they have to be a Chacham. And if you're describing somebody as a chacham, you're effectively saying that they have all of the accolades of wisdom and or of intellect, and they have all of the mastery of personal character. Because how does a person reach mastery over their own personality? I mean, it comes from Sheol Miskaber, but I tell you, Yitzchak Oleidach Dafka Kasherin Yitzchak Miskaber Lo B'Dover Boilam Yesh Biyadei Shlemes Hamalis Asichlis. When a person is intellectually focused, that's when they overcome the Yetzirah. When a person doesn't allow the Yetzirah to overcome them, that's when they have access to the highest intellectual insights. So therefore, the Chacham must include somebody who has absolute spiritual mastery. So the first thing you say is Chacham. And that's what's going to open up the channel for that person to be able to experience very developed Nevuah. And then the Gemara says, once you have the Chacham, which is the linchpin, the key of the whole process of getting Nevuah, then Girav Oshabal Koima. Then there are other physical secondary prerequisites that are required. These are things that will assist the person's chokhmah to be better or more focused or less disruptive. Because as mentioned, when a person has less distractions and less stress, they can be more aligned with where they're supposed to be. And that's why the Gemara there doesn't even talk about humility. Because as we've already mentioned, humility is not something which is unique to prophecy. It's something that every one of us needs to have in order to have any kind of meaningful connection to Hashem. Whereas the section of the Gemara in Nedarim, that Gemara is not talking about things that are only unique and reserved for Nevuah. It's talking much more broadly about what are the requirements that every person has to have in order to have Shechina in their lives at whatever level that might be, even if it's the lowest level. And that's why we do speak about humility, because as mentioned, humility is something that is necessary for a general connection to Hashem. And that's why the Gemara there does not begin by describing Chacham, because Chacham is something which is absolutely required for Nevuah. And here we're not talking about Nevuah per se, we're talking about various experiences of divine revelation. Now we have a pretty clear picture of what's going on over here. We understand that Nevuah has different manifestations. We understand that the Gemara may be speaking about different experiences of divine revelation, not all of which are Nevuah. And we understand that what the Rambam really wants us to know is that the foundational belief of Jewish people in Nevuah is not just to believe that Nevuah exists, but to believe that Nevuah is the absolute union between the person intellectually and Hashem's intellect. With that information, we can go and to understand one other thing about the Rambam. B'sefer or Ikrim, so what you're going to see is a big difference between the approach of the Sefer HaIkrim and the Rambam, because the Sefer HaIkrim says, first fundamental process we have to know is that the Eibusha gave us the Torah. Torah is from heaven. That is a foundational belief of Judaism, and a direct result of that is that we believe in prophecy. Because, as the Sefer HaIkrim says, the purpose of prophecy is just not for us just to know what's going to happen in the future for our own personal benefit, or to allow us to be able to show signs or do wonders for personal gain, according to the Sefer HaIkrim, the entire purpose of Nevuah is to be able to have a clear channel of divine revelation that allows Torah to be shared with the Jewish people. If you go from that perspective, that Torah from heaven is an ikar, a foundational belief of Judaism, and as a result of that we believe in prophecy, the Rambam doesn't seem to be saying that. The Rambam writes with regards to Navi, how come the Torah has to tell us that the Ibish is going to make Nevi'im? Not because he's going to come to, so to speak, innovate Halacha, but rather to engage us, to help us to serve Hashem better, to make sure we don't turn our back on our Judaism. And the Rambam then continues, until Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, says, the whole purpose is to remember the Torah. And then the Rambam also says, while we're about it, that if the Navi tells us anything else to do, we have to listen, and if we go against what he says, that's a capital offense. But that's not the purpose of the Navi. So at this point, it sounds like the Rambam is saying pretty much what the Ikrim is saying. What's the purpose of Nevuah? To bring Torah, to ratify Torah in the world. If that's true, why does the Rambam put in his 13 principles, in his 13 Ikrim, why does he put the Nevuah before the Torah? Why did the Rambam make the order of the 13 foundational principles of faith? In this way. When he tells us the fundamental principles that you have to believe in prophecy, and specifically the prophecy of Moshe, how come he does that straight after the five key principles of believing in Hashem, and that it is appropriate for us to serve Hashem? And he puts it, and he puts this before the eighth principle, which is that Torah comes from heaven. And he puts it before the ninth principle, which is that the Torah may never change. Doesn't make sense. The Rambam is also telling us that the Navi is here to teach us Torah. So surely the Navi principle should be taught after the Torah principle. And after Sefer Ikrim, that we have to know Torah is from the heaven. That's a foundational belief of Judaism, and therefore we have to know that they're Nevi'im. So a little differently to the approach of the Baal HaOikrim, where he says that there's core principles and then principles that develop out of those core principles, the Rambam's view is that all 13 of these principles are absolute core foundational principles of Judaism. But there's still a logical order to how they're presented. So, based on what the Rambam is telling us, that the purpose of a Navi is to help endorse the Torah, logically what should have happened is, should have been placed these, what he counts as foundational principle 6, believe in prophecy, foundational principle 7, believe that Moshe's prophecy is unique, that should have followed on after numbers, 8 and 9, that speak about the Torah. And more broadly, why is it that in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has to tell us from an halachic perspective that for us to know that Hashem endows people with prophecy is a foundational principle of Judaism? Surely, if the mitzvah is to listen to a Navi, tell us that. There's a mitzvah to listen to a Navi. You don't have to tell me in Mishnah Torah that it is a foundational principle of Judaism. And the reason we have to listen to it, because the Torah says so. The Torah says, Elof Tishmon, you've got to listen to it. But now we understand that that the Rambam wants us to know not only that Nevuah exists, but specifically that the Navi is bound with Hashem at the time of Nevuah, or in order to be a Navi. Ad Asher Dvar Hashem is slavish, to the extent that Hashem's word manifest b'sichlam b'hasagosim, inside the intellect and comprehension of the Navi, b'mare ha-nevuah, in that prophetic vision, v'gam b'machshavtom v'diburam, and it's manifest in their thoughts and in their words, k'mo shekosef, as the pasuk says, ruach Hashem diber bi'um elos el l'shoni, that the Eibishter's words speak through me and are on my tongue. The Rambam speaks about it in a fairly generic way. Chassidus speaks about it in a lot of detail. So what we're learning over here is that you could actually see three dimensions of Nevuah. The first thing about Nevuah is Amra Torah. The Torah tells us, I'm going to send you prophets in the future. And the purpose of those prophets is that they should instruct us how we're supposed to live as Jewish people and follow the Torah. Then, Mitzvah Sase, that's information. Then there's mitzvah say bifnei atzmo. Then there's an independent positive mitzvah shetzorich lishmaya b'kol ha-novi, that we have to listen to that novi when he speaks, and that's achas mitariga mitzvah, one of the 613. Eilav tishmeon, listen to. V'ho'ever advar uchay misibidei shamayim chulein. If a person rejects what the novi has to say, that is a severe punishment. Then, besides that, gimel miyosodei hados, there is a foundational principle of Judaism. This is not just a practicality that you've got to listen to the Navi. This is a foundational principle of our entire faith. To know that there is Nevuah. And the way that Nevuah works is excluded from everybody who is not absolutely one with Hashem. We have to know that David should reveals himself. He reveals his secrets. And he endows people with prophecy. In a way that that prophetic information is one with the intellect of the Navi. It becomes part and parcel of their intellect. Until you get somebody who's achieved the ultimate state of that kind of Nevuah. Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nevuah of Moshe, Shehoyu Misnabe V'ho Erev O'Imed, who could experience Nevuah and be completely unfazed. As the Rambam says clearly, that the power of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he could experience the Nevuah without shifting one bit from his normal self. With all the detail that goes with that. The Rambam goes into this in detail, both in Mishneh Torah as well as in his Pirush HaMishnayos, where he goes to the Yugimel Ikrim in the seventh Ikar, Ad Hashem Nikshe, Dai to the Tzur Elamim, to the extent that he says Moshe Rabbeinu was completely bound up with the eternal rock, the Mishneh, and that radiance of holiness never left him, and it literally shone on his face, and he became holy like an angel. That explains why the Rambam does not place the key principles of Nevuah after the key principles of belief in Torah, but rather after the key principles of belief in Hashem. And specifically straight after the fifth principle, which is that the only one who deserves our commitment and our service is the Eibishter. Because this is foundational principle of our faith, not just for the technicality of making sure the Torah is kept, therefore we have to have a Navi who keeps us on the straight and narrow, but rather because if we believe in the Eibishter, then we have to believe that the Eibishter has a way to manifest in the world. And the way to manifest in the world is through messaging of Nevuah and becoming part and parcel of that Navi whose mind is completely combined with Hashem's mind to the point, as the Rambam says, the way he's effectively thinking what the Eibishter thinks and saying the words of the Eibishter. And each of us, Mitzvah Hashem, should be zoiched to have that kind of an experience with the Giloy that will happen in the time of Mashiach. It should happen, take it from Yad Mamash.